then we, that's the way we end the song. Grace greater than our sin. Then we sit down.
Daddy, can you come outside and play with me a while? We'll ride bikes or throw the ball, he says with a great big smile. Standing in his shadow is that little boy he loves so much. He's watching everything his daddy does, and he's my shadow. He goes everywhere I go, he does everything I do. He says that I wanna be just like you, but if I fail to shine the light, God's love within me, I wonder what kind of shadow will it be? And gone since he left our home, and now there's only memories of him now that he is gone. But in the shadow of my son there stands another little one, and now he's casting shadows of his own. He's my shadow, he goes everywhere I go, he does everything I do. He says I wanna be just like you, but if I fail to shine the light of God's love within me, I wonder what kind of shadow will it be? He's my shadow, he goes everywhere I go, he does everything I do. He says, Dad, I want to be just like you. If I fail to shine the light of God's love within me, I wonder what kind of shadow will it be? But if I fail to shine the light of God's love within me, I wonder what kind of shadow will it be? He's my shadow.
It's good to have evangelist Don Jasmine with us. His wife is at home not feeling well, okay? Came down with the flu while he was gone. And so that's a concern to him. And so if you would just remember her in prayer, her name is Mary Jasmine, and a very vital part of his ministry. But I'm really glad to have Brother Don Jasmine here. I consider him a good old friend of mine, buddy in the work of the Lord together, and I'm glad to have him here. Brother Don, you come preach a word to us this morning.
Got to be very careful about going up steps and down steps these days. My balance is not like it used to be, but glad to be here. My wife also, I was 4 days late leaving on this trip, didn't cancel any meetings, but I had to shift the order of services because morning I was getting ready to leave. She got up early, 5:30, and went out to pull out the electricity and fell and came hollering, crying, shouting, and said, "Get me to the emergency." So I had to take her to an emergency, and she dislocated her shoulder, had to have it in a splint for several days. And that meant I would have had to do all the cooking. But she always gets me ready to leave. So she filled the motorhome full of food. So for 4 days, all I had to do was go out to the motorhome and bring it back in and warm it up, and it was all set. But she just had an MRI, and she's going to find out whether there's any permanent damage or not in that shoulder. And then she came down with the flu 3 or 4 days ago. But other than that, she's in good spirits, okay? And I'm glad to be here, amen? What's left of me, anyway, okay? And there's less and less of me all the time, okay? Well, I don't know, they keep putting in new parts, okay? a couple times they put some parts in my back, and now they put some screws and pins in my right foot. I had major foot surgery about 3 months ago, and I spent about 2 months just sitting there with my one foot elevated above the other foot for about 2 months, and couldn't do anything except watch DVDs and talk to my wife, okay? She was happy for that, okay? She said, "Hey, you maybe ought to get this way more often." But anyway, I'm glad to be back, and the doctor said I could travel, okay? Unfortunately, it's going to take about 6 months for the swelling in my foot to completely disappear, and therefore I don't have on the normal dress shoes that I normally have. I'm wearing shoes that you might wear to play basketball, okay? But that's the way it is, okay? I have to do that for a while. And it's better than paying $320 for diabetic shoes that won't fit. And I got these for $17. That's 5% of the cost, okay? That's not a bad deal, is it? Okay. So anyway, it's good to be here today, and appreciate the fellowship with Brother Freeman and his wife. On Father's Day, congratulations to all of the fathers. Tuesday also is our anniversary, wedding anniversary. I won't get back till Wednesday. It takes me a little bit longer traveling now. And that will be our 53rd wedding anniversary on Tuesday. And Thursday, I'm going to take my wife out to a special place for that. Well, let's see, there's literature back there. Be sure and help yourself to some of the material back there. If you'd like to have me, just put the funds in the basket or see me, and we'll be glad to help you out. The Fundamentalist Digest, the last issue, just came out a week ago. And we have two lengthy articles in there about my alma mater. Very informative, highly informative, I tell you. They are, and they're crushing. They are crushing. They make me want to weep. Okay? And that's sad. And the next issue, we will have a report on the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, which I attended as a fundamentalist media representative. And talk about crushing. I don't know what word to describe that, okay? I mean, well, I'm glad I'm not part of that ecclesiastical machinery. Thank God for the independent, free, Bible-believing local Baptist church. Amen? Wow. I mean, they have convention thing that would make everybody feel ashamed. Yes.
I'd like you to just give a little report this evening in the evening service.
Okay, I'll take a little bit of time. Yes, okay, I'll take it. It was an interesting 4 days, Sunday through Wednesday, that I invested there, and I'd be glad to tell you about some of the things that I saw that, well, some of it unbelievable, but it's true. Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, please. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. I did not know that the pastor was in a series dealing with dispensations and that he was going to place an emphasis on this subject that I'm preaching on this morning. But praise the Lord. You'll find it all through the book. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, please. The scripture says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, in whom we have redemption through his blood." Shall we bow our hearts in just a moment of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I pray you take this message this morning and use it to meet needs in hearts and lives. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The Bible is a blood-stained book. From its grand conception in Genesis to its glorious conclusion in the book of Revelation, the Bible is a book saturated with the blood and emphasizing the blood of Christ. Now, before we consider the importance of the blood in relationship to the soul, let's think just about for a moment the blood and the human body and the importance of the blood in relation to our human body. I don't know whether you're aware of this. I wasn't until I did some research and study on this, about the importance of the red cells in our body. You know that there are more than 25 trillion red cells in your body. And one drop of blood alone contains over 300 million cells. I'm not lying. This is a fact. These cells measure about 1/3,000 of an inch in diameter and less than 1/10,000 of an inch in thickness. Now, there's also the importance of the hemoglobin in relation to the blood. The blood owes its red color to this element. A hemoglobin contains iron. In fact, I am told that the blood of the average person contains enough iron to make a 10-penny nail. Well, the next time your stomach gets sick, it may not be from eating too much pizza. It may be the 10-penny nail. Okay. Then there is the canal cycle through which these red cells pass and circulate. Are you aware of the fact that there are 100,000 miles? That's what I said. 100,000 miles of little canals through which the blood travels in its journeys in the human body. And the entire volume of that blood passes through these 100,000 miles in just 23 seconds of time. Wow. We're talking about an amazing thing. You know, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay? Now, then there's the importance of the heart and the blood. The heart, the marvelous instrument that circulates the blood and drives it into the various parts of our human body, is an amazing, amazing thing as well. Then there are the capillaries, the smallest of vessels in the bloodstream and the most numerous. If we were to take all the capillaries in your bloodstream, okay, and run them out side by side, those capillaries would measure a distance of 62,000 miles. 2.5 times the distance of the globe. And it's all inside of you, folks. Okay? The blood. Okay? An amazing thing. And then there are the white cells. Are equally important. These are the infection fighters. that attack the bacteria and defend against it. When we have a scratch or a break or something in our body, those white cells rush like defenders in a moment of time to try to heal and defend us against the bacteria that would invade us. Well, if you want to summarize it, you could say that the blood cycle distributes food, transports waste products, delivers oxygen, transmits hormones, defends the body against bacterial invasion, maintains the water content of the body, and regulates body temperature. Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if in a city like Allentown, you could take all the garbage trucks and take all the garbage and take it out in those garbage trucks in the evening, and then in the morning you could take those same garbage trucks, fill them full of fresh produce, and deliver them back to Allentown. You say that's impossible, but your bloodstream does it perfectly every day. It disposes of the negative and replaces it with the positive. Wow, what an amazing, amazing thing, that thing we call the blood, okay? No wonder David the psalmist said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He said, "I'm going to praise God for the manner in which God has made me." And the blood certainly is a wonderful miracle of the human body. There's nothing like it. Okay? The physical importance of the blood. But let me talk about the spiritual importance of the blood, ladies and gentlemen. There is a line that stretches throughout the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament. From the first chapters, the early chapters in the book of Genesis, all the way through the 39 books of the Old Testament, and running from Matthew all the way through to Revelation, there is a line that stretches through the Scripture, and that line, ladies and gentlemen, is the bloodline. You know, I remember when I was growing up, we had in our church a program called, let me see if I can get the proper name of it. Anyway, it was a Bible study program for children and young people. It was an 8-year program, met every Tuesday night for an hour and a half, 39 weeks during the year. A junior Bible school, that was the name of it. And the first year, the year 5, when you were 5 years old, you did nothing but memorize Scripture. And when I was 5 years old, I memorized dozens and dozens, and I still to recall them. Okay? It was an 8-year program. And by the time you got into the postgraduate program, the last 2 years were the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, and I think the last year was a 39-week course on soul winning. Wow! 12-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy taking a 39-week course on soul winning. Whew. I'm going to tell you, that was great. But they also had vacation Bible schools during the summer for 2 weeks, 9:30 to 12 every day. We had vacation Bible school, the junior Bible school. And I will never forget, 1 year we took a 2-week journey on the faith line. I'm on the faith line, the good old faith line. 'Tis the line that takes me through to the land beyond the blue. I'll tell the story from earth to glory, how the Savior keeps and saves and satisfies. The faith line, 2 weeks. And then the next year, I think when I was 6 years old, we took a 2-week course on the bloodline. 2 weeks. 2.5 hours a day, nothing, studying nothing but the blood. Wow. Well, I'd like to see a vacation Bible school like that today. Well, that's simply to say that the Bible is filled with the importance of the blood. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, you will find the importance of the blood. When Adam and Eve sinned, after they sinned, God provided a blood sacrifice for them. When Abel offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God in contrast to Cain, it was a blood sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. When Isaac was about to be offered on Mount Moriah, it was the blood of a substitute ram that saved his life. And even when the covenant of the law was given, blood was shed. On Mount Sinai, there as the law was given, you'll discover as you read the Word of God that there was the shedding of blood. All throughout the course of the Old Testament, as you study Old Testament law, you'll discover that though the law was always there, there was something else that was always there, and that was the shedding of blood. Because the law in itself could not provide. It was not sufficient. Something more was, and that was the shedding of blood. And so you have the Old Testament priests as they go through the sacrificial ritual of shedding of blood. And I got to think about how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of little lambs were killed and their blood was shed. Remember that when Israel left Egypt to head toward the promised land, what did God say, I want you to do? Before you leave, I want you to kill a lamb and I want you to take the blood that has been shed and I want you to put it on the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And it's always been that way in the Old Testament. No matter where you go, you'll find the shedding of blood. And when you come to the New Testament, the record is the same. John the Baptist, as he meets the Lord Jesus, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Okay? Yes. And text after text, verse after verse in the New Testament records for us the truth about the shedding of blood. Our text here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, makes that plain, that with the shedding of blood comes the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, without bloodshed, Bible tells in Hebrews, there is no remission. There's no cancellation. There's no abrogation. It's always the blood. And praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, was shed on Calvary's cross. And you can read about the blood. I have to take my glasses off to be able to read. And I'll go down here. Okay? I'm going to see the eye specialist. Okay? Whatever his title is. Can't think of it right now. Starts with a P. What is it? Yeah, that's it. All right. Thank you very much. All right. The scripture says here in Romans 3, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Okay? 1 Peter chapter says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through the Bible says, the blood, shedding of blood. And if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And you know, even in heaven, when this life is finished, when it's all over, and we're on the other side, Revelation chapter 1 starts out with, I like that, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, O God, by Thy blood. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, no matter where you go, whether it's the Old Testament or New Testament, you're going to find one thing, the importance of the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. God, yes, God made it. Hallelujah, I'm glad He did it that way. I couldn't provide it. I couldn't do it. Sinful, wicked, corrupt, evil, diabolical, ungodly, wicked. Say, are you that bad? I'm describing you too. Okay, I'm not just describing me, okay? No. Headed toward a crisis eternity in a devil's hell. But God stepped in. And blood was shed. Hallelujah, on the cross of Calvary. The importance, ladies and gentlemen, of the blood. You cannot overemphasize the importance of the shedding of blood. Amen. Well, let's go then to the identity of the blood. May I say, first of all, that that blood that was shed was sacred blood. That was the blood of God, the Son of God, who upholds all things by the word of His power, who sustains all things by the word of His power, and who shall someday destroy all things by the word of His power. Yes, God became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And one day, the Lamb of God, predicted so many hundreds of times in the Old Testament, hung on that cross, and shed His blood. Now I want to tell you, that blood was just the right blood. It had the right identity to it. Oh, you got to be careful when you give blood transfusions, don't you? Make sure that that blood is pure and not defiled. Well, I want to tell you, from the standpoint of salvation, that blood was sacred blood. Now there have been blood has been shed before in the name of religion and still being shed in the name of religion. The bloodiest spot in the human universe today is at least the record of it, is from the Aztec Indians who in the 15th or 16th centuries, hundreds of thousands of individuals were humanly sacrificed upon an altar of stone. And their blood was shed, and the heart literally was cut out of those people. And thousands of people were killed and slaughtered by those Aztec priests, all in the name of ancient religion, but it could not, did not, and never will wash away any sin. Because it was the wrong blood. The city of Jerusalem, I am told, was literally filled with blood when the Romans came in 70 AD and destroyed the temple. And thousands of Jews were crucified on crosses, human wood crosses. They said there wasn't enough wood in Jerusalem to put enough Jews on those crosses. And blood was shed. It literally spilled out into the city streets. But all the blood that was shed in the name of ancient Roman religion could not, did not, and never will wash away one speck or spot or taint of sin, because it was the wrong blood. In the 15th century, we have recorded for us in Spain, St. Bartholomew's Day, when over 100,000 people in one day were martyred and killed. All in the name of ancient religion, and blood literally flowed and spilled in the streets of Barcelona. But it could not, did not, and never will wash away one sin, because it was the wrong blood. In the 18th century, France had a revolution. The royal hierarchy, the kings and the nobles and the princes were slaughtered in the street, openly. In the French Revolution, as blood was openly spilled, but all the blood that was shed and spilled in that revolution in France could not and did not and never will wash away one sin, because it was the wrong blood. But I want to tell you folks something. 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, the sinless, spotless, perfect Son of God hung on a tree and shed His blood, and that blood was the right blood, and only that blood can wash away my sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. There may I, though vile as he, and I'm a Michigan hillbilly, wash, not wash, wash all my sins away. See, I'm a Michigan hillbilly, so I'm not a Baptist, I'm a Baptist. Okay? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for that blood. That blood was sacred blood, my friend. That blood was not only sacred blood, and that blood was not only sinless blood, but that blood was substitutionary blood. That was the blood was offered it, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity or sin of us all. Hallelujah. Yes. It made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. We might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That blood was substitutionary blood. Well, I like athletics. And I'm a football fanatic. And I know I'm in the state of Pennsylvania, so I shouldn't mention the University of Michigan at all. Okay? Well, you know, I was going back to Michigan last year in October. Maybe it was from here. I don't know where. No, I think it was from Baltimore. And headed out. I was right near the Pennsylvania-Ohio line. It was on Saturday afternoon. And I got tired of listening to classic music. And I said, maybe I can catch the end of the Michigan-Penn State football game. So I turned the radio and turned it out, and sure enough, and they went into overtime. Four overtimes. One overtime, two overtimes, three overtimes, four overtimes, okay? And Penn State scored and was ahead. Michigan got the ball back in the fourth overtime, and they were headed toward the end zone, just a few yards from the end zone, and the Michigan quarterback rolled back and threw a pass, and it was intercepted by a Penn State. Okay? And Michigan lost in the fourth overtime. Now, I was back home a month later, in a restaurant, in the area where we do all our shopping. And lo and behold, I was checking out and I saw a sign that said Penn State. I said, wait a minute. This should be University of Michigan signs over here. What's Penn State doing up there? I'm in the heart of Michigan country. And I said to the waitress, that Penn State sign, what does that stand for? Oh, she said, my son is a football player at Penn State. And he intercepted the pass. I lie not. And there was a picture of her son, the one who intercepted the pass. Well, in football, they all that say this. They have substitutes. Quarterbacks frequently get hurt in pro football. And they have to put a substitute in his place, okay? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus, I was the one who was a sinner. I was the one who deserved judgment and death and the wrath of God. But all the wrath that I could ever experience was heaped upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's justice was totally satisfied. As Jesus became my substitute. He took my place and paid the price for my salvation. Oh, how wonderful, how a blessing. That blood that was shed was not only substitutionary blood, that blood was sacrificial blood. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I heard men this week at a religious convention quote Scripture. And more than once they quoted John 3:16. But they left out something very important. They said, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Uh-uh. Only begotten. That comes from the Greek word monogenesis, which means the only one of His kind. See, I'm a son of God. If you're saved, you're a son of God. Okay? God so loved the world that He gave His only Son? No. You better have a Bible that has it in there. He gave His only begotten. And the only modern version that has that word begotten, which means the only one of His kind, none like Him, is the King James text of the Bible. Every other modern version deletes that. 5 times in the King James Bible you will find the word begotten. And every one of those modern versions, every 5 times, leaves out the word begotten. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a sacrifice, the sacrifice. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God had only one Son, and He gave all that He had for you and for me, unworthy, undeserving as I was, hellbound as I was. He gave His Son as the sacrifice for my sin. Heard a story about a missionary in Chile. His wife was expecting, and complications developed, and she had to have an operation, and blood had to be given on her behalf. Well, a certain kind of blood had to be, and none was available. And that missionary went out in the darkness of that night, looking, hoping, praying that somehow he could find somebody who had the blood type that his wife had so that an operation could be formed and the life of his wife and the infant child in the womb could be saved. Couldn't find anybody. He came back despondent and dejected, believing that perhaps his wife and that infant were probably now dead. But while he was gone, since an operation had to be performed, that doctor took his own blood and gave it as a sacrifice and then performed the operation that saved the woman, the mother, and the baby in the womb. Now I'm going to tell you, on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, God, through His Son, made the sacrifice, and the price was paid, hallelujah. And My sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know. They are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. My sins are blotted out, I know. Hallelujah. Oh, that blood was sufficient blood. Never again. Never again would blood need to be offered. I know the Roman Church has what it calls the Mass and the Eucharist, where the priest offers in a certain way what he believes is a sacrifice for our sins. Okay. But I want to tell you, all those sacrifices can never take away any sin. They can go on and on and on and on as they have done for hundreds of millions, yes, probably billions of times. And have that golden chalice and that cup and go through those formal ceremonies. But I want to tell you, it will never wash away one sin. It can't, and because, well, there was one sacrifice which was offered forever, and since that date when that blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, there has never had to be any more sacrifice. For that blood that was shed that day was sufficient. Well, not only is that blood sufficient blood, but that blood is shielding blood. Yes. The Bible tells us to take the shield of faith. Shield of faith in what? Shield of faith, ladies and gentlemen, in Christ's blood. Hallelujah. Oh, I've got an attacker. I got somebody that doesn't like me. I hope it's not you. Okay? But I got a foe up there in the heavenlies. I've got an enemy up there, and he doesn't like the fact that I'm on my way to heaven. And so he's after me. He works on me. Am I the only one he works on? Now he's not invincible. He's not omnipresent, but he sure seems to be. That's because he's got his heavenly, he's got his supernatural armies up there. And they're busy everywhere. And they slip down here and they work on us. They work on Christians. Boy, they go after them, okay? And they work on us. Oh, and do they work on us? Have you ever slipped? Have you ever sinned since you got saved? Ever made a mistake? Have you ever backslid? Okay. And the devil comes knocking at your door? You dirty, filthy, vile, corrupt person. You ha 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 ha! You call yourself a Christian! Ho 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 ho! Ha ha ha! Wait, Mr. Satan. Just wait a minute. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and by the word of their testimony. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you turn, take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. And look at the... let's see what chapter we can find here, where I can find that scripture. Yes, Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 22 says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God." Where is that city of the living God? Somebody tell me. Where is it? That's in heaven. To the heavenly Jerusalem. Where is the heavenly Jerusalem? Well, dummy, it's in heaven. It says right there, the heavenly, okay. To an innumerable company of angels. Where are the angels? Where do they come from? You think I'm dumb? They come from heaven. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Where is my name written on the roll? Okay. When the roll is called up yonder, where is that roll? Down here? No, no, no. It's in heaven. To God, the judge of all. Where's God? I know He's in my heart through His Holy Spirit, but where does God dwell? You must think I don't have any sense at all. He's in heaven, buddy. And of the spirits of just men made perfect. When the saved die, when our spirit is separated from our body, where do we go when we die? Answer, folks. Heaven. Okay? You got the idea this is all about heaven? And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the blood is sprinkling. Where? Now, you're not going to tell me that everything else is in heaven and all of a sudden it ran to the ground and that was the end of it. And there's No. This is all heavenly. God's got a trophy in heaven, folks. When He went back to heaven, He took something with Him. It's the new mercy seat. Okay. And when the devil attacks me, as he does, and he will attack you as well, when he attacks us, and be assured he will. If he hasn't, he's coming. So mark it down. Okay, he'll be there. When he attacks us, what is our defense? One thing. Eh? Mr. Satan, get out of here. I'm claiming something. I'm claiming the blood that Jesus shed. Yeah? And I want to tell you something, folks. I have a defense attorney. I have someone who's on my side. And for 2,000 years, my defense attorney has never lost a case. Hallelujah. So no matter what Satan does, I'm shielded by the blood. Well, let me say one more thing, and then we'll be done for the morning. Sad to say, that blood is slighted blood. It's blood that is being rejected and has been rejected. Let me read for you a verse from the book of Hebrews. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of whom much sore how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath sanctified an unholy thing and done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Ladies and gentlemen, the only person who can take what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary and apply it to your sin-stricken, sin-deadened soul is the Holy Spirit of God. And if when the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart's door and says, sinner, I want to talk to you about Jesus. I want to invite you to come to Him who shed His blood for you. If when He knocks on your heart's door and you say no, there is no hope for yourself. I'm going to tell you something. You've got to come the blood-stained way, you're going to die and go to hell. You have a choice this morning. Turn from your sin and trust Christ as your Savior, and the blood will wash your sins as white as snow. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And if you'll come the blood-stained way, your sins can be blotted out. Unworthy, corrupt, sinful, undeserving. You may have walked into this assembly this morning on your way to a devil's hell and a crisis eternity. But through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, you can leave this assembly this morning saved and on your way to heaven. That's your choice. What will you do? Well, let me tell you this story. J. Pierpont Morgan was the world's most famous, in his day, financier. In his day and in his world, he affected the financial transactions of a whole world. When J. Pierpont Morgan did business, the whole world took notice. He affected the financial equilibrium of the world of his day, one of the richest men in all of the world. One day he died. And he left a will. He left a testament. And I want to read for you what he said in that testament, his last will, J. Pierpont Morgan. This is what he said, and he wrote this to his children, to his sons. And he said to them, I commit my soul in the hands of my Savior, full of confidence that having redeemed me and washed me with his most precious blood, he will present me faultless before the throne of his heavenly Father. And I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all costs, and personal sacrifice, the blessed doctrine of complete atonement through the blood of Jesus Christ once offered, and that alone. He said to his children, there's one thing I want you to do. Stand for and defend the blood of Christ. And with that, he said, I have committed my soul. To whom have you committed yours? If you were to die right now, if your heart were to stop beating, where would you spend eternity? Would you slide off these nice cushioned seats straight to the pit of hell? Would you fly on the wings of angels to heaven's glory? When you die, you're going one of two places. You're either going to go to the devil's hell or you're going to go to God's heaven. Well, many years ago, I made my choice. I'm on my way to heaven today. I know most of my life is not in front of me. I know most of my life on this earth is behind me. But I know this. When that heart stopped beating for the last time, I'm going to heaven. And I'm not going to claim anything I've ever done. Oh, no. When I get there, I'm going to get there solely because Jesus shed his blood. And I put my trust in him who made the sacrifice that was sufficient for my sin. I'm not going to claim anything of my own. I'm going to look at him. I'm going to see his blessed face. And I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For what you did on Calvary when you shed your blood. Yes, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. I want to ask a simple question this morning. And the pastor is going to come and lead us in the invitation. But I want to ask a simple question. Be honest with me. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. You can fool the pastor, but you can't fool God. You can fool your husband or your wife or your friend or your relative, but you can't fool God. Now, don't do this if you're not sure. I'll not embarrass anybody. I promise you this. I will not embarrass anybody. But if you're sure that you're on your way to heaven and that you've been saved by the blood of Jesus and that alone, as a testimony, would you just slip your hand up for a moment real high, just as a testimony? I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know if I died where I'm going to spend eternity. Thank you. You may put it down. Is there anybody here today? You say, preacher, I came into this building not sure of my salvation. I came not knowing that I was saved. But I'd like to leave this building this morning with the blessed assurance that my sins have been washed in His precious blood, that I'm a child of God and I'm on my way to heaven. I may not understand it, I may not comprehend it, but I want what everybody else has got in this building. I want to be saved. I want Jesus' blood to wash my sin. Pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up right now and I'll remember you in prayer. Anyone, anywhere, just slip it up real high. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you are a Christian, you're saved. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Maybe you're here as a Christian and there's some sin between you and God. Something has separated your fellowship, not your eternal relationship, but your fellowship. There's some consuming sin that controls you. There's some habit that you've never overcome. There's some priority that's incorrect. You say, preacher, I'd like to take care of that today. As a Christian, Jesus' blood can cleanse you and make you whole. You'd like to be remembered in prayer today. Would you slip up your hand and let us pray for you? Anyone, anywhere, just slip it up and say, yes, remember me in prayer. God bless you. Thank you. Or any others, just slip it up. They pray for me. Now, Father, bless in the invitation song. Do the work that needs to be done. We ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Turn it over to the pastor and he'll conclude as he feels led.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the letter. And there's just nothing better than that. And we thank you that there's nothing else that can save you from the blood. So help us as we go our way to take the message of this salvation through the blood with us everywhere we go. May we be willing to tell it to whoever will listen. Give us safety as we go our way and bring us back in safe tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we're dismissed, I'm going to say something. My problem in the pulpit this morning